Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, my brothers and my sisters, and welcome once again to the PRF table. I'm your host, Dr. Nate Dunlap. Also here sitting with us at the table is Mary Ann Williams, also known as Mama. Mama, how you doing? And say hello to the people.
I'm doing fine, Nate, and good evening to my PRF family. Glad to be here, wanting to hear what you have to say, you know. We are free here at the table, which is a blessing that we can voice our opinion with no judgment. So I'm looking forward to hearing some voices this evening.
Amen, amen. And not just your opinion, just, you know, what's going on with you as we deal with this topic. Tonight we're going to be talking from the topic of the trials of rebuilding credit. And if you've been with us, you know that we've been talking about rebuilding credit God's way. And this is actually part six of that series. And in this lesson tonight, we're really going to focus on how to respond to the enemy while you continue to rebuild your credit. So we just hope that you join into the conversation like Mama was encouraging you a few moments ago. And Mama, let's go ahead and get into the show. For those of you who are listening online, if you want to call into the show to listen or to make a comment, just dial 347-215-7934, 347-215-7934. That's the number to call in every week here on the PRF table. And also, if you're listening online and you don't want to call in, just go to our Facebook page, PRF is what it is on Facebook, for Possession Resources and Finances or the PRF Teaching Ministry. So with that, Mama, let's go ahead and get started for tonight. It has been a long day.
Yes.
So as we talk, as we come into to what we're talking about tonight, I really was thinking about bringing the words of Matthew 18 and 20 as a way to start off the conversation tonight. And one of the things I thought about was Jesus said, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with them." Or depending on what translation, "I am in the midst of them. I am in between them." And I would just encourage everybody, just from the jump, just look at what Jesus is saying in that one verse, and then look at it from like the NIV, or the NASB. And if you really want to get a complete saying of what Jesus was saying, then I think you can go back to, verse 19. And when you add verse 19 with verse 20, it gives it a lot more, what I'm going to say, a lot more punch, a lot more power. Because the first word that he said in verse 19 was, "Again." "Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything that you ask for, it'll be done in my name or done for them by my Father in heaven." Then he says, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of you." So I think that's going to be important for you to kind of hold on to, because, again, tonight we're talking about the trials of rebuilding credit. And so we're talking from the book of Nehemiah, as we've been talking about almost during this whole series. And when you start off with the beginning verses of Nehemiah chapter 4, it's starting off and it's talking about these jokers that have come back into the conversation, Mama. You remember we talked about this guy named Sanballat.
Yeah.
And it says he was angry when he learned that they were rebuilding the wall. He flew into a rage. He mocked the Jews. He said in front of his friends, and he said it in front of the Samaritan army officers. What does this poor bunch of feeble Jews think that they're doing? Do they think that they can build the wall in a single day by just offering a few sacrifices? Do they think that they can make something of stones from a rubbish heap and charred ones at that? And then here comes this other joker named Tobiah, the Ammonite, who was standing beside him, and he remarked, "The stone wall would collapse if even a fox would walk along the top of it." And I'm going to tell you something. As I read that, that's what brought me back to those words of Jesus about when two or three are gathered in my name, then I am in the midst of them. When you continue to embark upon this spiritual discipline, and that's what it is, it's a spiritual discipline of rebuilding, especially your credit, you got to be careful, y'all, those of you who are listening, to always remember that you're not doing it alone. For the believer, Christ is with you. You got to remember that if some jokers like a Sanballat and a Tobiah, just with a different name, are there, that they want to try to enter into your space and try to interject negative thoughts into your mind or try to discourage you, you realize that light and darkness can't occupy the same space.
Yes.
So Jesus is in the middle of what you're doing to rebuild, then the enemy has no place there. He can't be there, can't survive there. So whatever the number of people that are helping to rebuild, if you add one more to it, which is Christ, then you have the majority.
That's good.
You have the majority. Go ahead, Mama.
Yes, and it also says in Psalm 23:4, it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." And in Psalm 23:5, it says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over." And just getting back to going back to Psalm 23:4, we are going to be, you know, when we are rebuilding and doing what is right, as you just said, you know, the enemy's going to come in and try to, you know, disrupt that. But we as believers know that, yes, that's going to happen, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It's all right, you know, because I'm not going to be afraid, because I know that he is with me, you know, and he's going to comfort me through it, you know. Mm-hmm. And then Psalm 25, as it says, "Thou preparest a table for me in the presence of my enemies." So he's letting me know I'm going to have enemies now, because when you're doing anything right, as we've seen in Nehemiah, nothing was going on until he decided to do something right, you know. And then here are the enemies. However, the word says that he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So he's going to give us the guidance that we need, and he's going to give us the strength that we need, and more than enough, because it also says that my cup runneth over. So we can surely be secure in doing what we know is right to do, and just, you know, in the presence of the Lord. Amen.
Wow. Amen. Amen. This is me, Mama. I had this thought about, because I've heard it a lot of times in Christian circles. I've heard it a lot of times in church, that whenever you're doing something, expect the enemy to get involved. Whenever something is going on, whenever you're doing something for Christ and doing something for God, or if you're not doing anything for the kingdom, then the devil don't want to mess with you. I just don't take easy to what it seems like a fearful type of doctrine. I mean, let's think about it. Everybody's faith is not at the same place. So why, if my faith is not strong, why in the world would I want to do something for Christ if I know the enemy is coming and I don't know or have the tools right now to combat that enemy? Why would I even go forward? So, and again, this is me personally. I stay away from telling folks that if you do something for God, that the enemy is going to be coming after you. We don't know what's going to happen. But as you're going to see tonight, what we're looking at and what we're going to be discussing is about being prepared, right? So when I look at verses 4 and 5.
Oh, may I comment on that? I believe why that's being said is because we do have an adversary, you know, and we teach our children to do the right thing because there are consequences. So we know that even in school, when you're different, you're doing your homework, and I've been in that environment. I mean, even myself, you know, I'm doing my homework, and I'm doing what I want to do, and they're not doing theirs, so they found somebody to do their homework, and they want to pick on me and steal my homework. You know what I mean? So this is the adversary that we deal with that don't want us to have peace, period, because he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So we have to be aware of that. We have to be aware of that. That's why he says here, although you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, because it's going to happen somewhere. You know, even when I in the beginning didn't have knowledge, you know, the knowledge that I have now of the word, I still was attacked because he does try to attack us when we don't have the knowledge. You know what I mean? That's why Paul says, you know, he didn't want us to be, I'm just applying this to myself, don't be ignorant of the devices of the enemy. You know, so I believe that's why, you know, in the Christian community that is said, and it could be said in a different light, but I'm just saying that's just my opinion.
I got you. We're not going to agree on that with Mom, and it's all love. So
I know.
Keep moving.
I know.
And you're going to see why I don't necessarily need people to take that mindset.
Right.
Because as we're doing things, we want to put God first. If it's, well, you know what, I don't do this, then enemy. If that's the mindset, mm-hmm. people will be doing things out of fear. But we're going to move on. We're going to move on, and we're going to see. When you look back at Nehemiah chapter 4, and we go back to verse 4 and 5, we saw what happened in verse 1 through 3. We hear what Nehemiah knew, which was about Sanballat and Tobiah and all of the things that they were saying behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But here's what Nehemiah did. It says, then I prayed, hear us, O God, for we are being mocked. We're being scoffing, fall back on their own heads. May the stuff that they're throwing at us fall back on them. May they become in a foreign land. Don't ignore their guilt. Don't blot out their sins, for they have provoked you to anger in front of the builders. See, Nehemiah was connected enough to God through this rebuilding process. And I say rebuilding process because I want folks to hone in on it being a process versus a project. See, when opposition came, he knew exactly what to do. And what was that to do? Pray. Now, let me be honest with you. When I was rebuilding my credit, at various times in my adult life, the first thing I did not do when my plan started to go left or when my plan started to go right was pray.
Yes.
Right? When I
yes.
When I didn't have a savings account and an emergency hit, the first thing I didn't do was pray. All I wanted to do was to get out of the mess. And all I really wanted was my, I'm being honest, transparent. Mm-hmm. All I really wanted was my project, not my process, but I wanted my project to hurry up and to be over. And I know from dealing with folks that is a lot of where a lot of people's mindset have been. I just want to get out of this mess. But let's go back and understand where we're at in Nehemiah chapter 4. Like I told you last week and this week, we're not talking to people who are just considering rebuilding, because the context of Nehemiah 4 is after they already started rebuilding. This show tonight, as I get ready to bring Shatara, one of our other hosts here on the PRF table, this show tonight is about talking about the difficulties or the little trials that may come as you're rebuilding, just like they were rebuilding in Nehemiah chapter 4. So let me go ahead and bring one of the other hosts and give her an opportunity to say hello to the people. Ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who don't know, if this is your first time to the table, Shatara Sherwood is one of the other hosts of the PRF table. Shatara, how are you doing this evening?
I am doing well. How is everyone?
That's fine. Thank you. Good evening.
Good evening.
Where are you at?
In reading this chapter, it kind of made me realize that, or think about opposition in a different way, because we always have some form of opposition, right? Be it ourselves or a physical person or force, let's say, being. Sometimes we're our own opposition. So if we go into a project, as you said, or process, knowing that it's going to take, like, purposeful effort. Like, you're going to have to, this thing you're going to have to do, you're going to have to actually, and in this rebuilding right here, in light of rebuilding credit, it's not just going to happen by chance. You know, some people will think, oh, it'll work itself out. You know, things will work themselves out. But some person with or having a passive mindset to credit, I'm going to keep it on credit, to your credit, is opposition in itself, in my opinion. Because if you, when you got to a position or a situation where the credit is less than favorable, that wasn't a passive action. So you can't expect it to be a passive resolution. So when you think about rebuilding credit, rebuilding your house that burned out, or Nehemiah and this group rebuilding the wall, there is opposition always present. That, be it gravity for the wall, that's the opposition because you have to lift up the stuff and stack it back. Or be it you saying, oh, I don't want to get my credit report. I don't want to call those people that have to, you know, that have that stuff on my credit report erroneously. If you look at it always as there is always something opposing when you are trying to build something or rebuild something, and you expect it, then you know you have to be prepared. That gives you the mindset of preparation. You have to be prepared when you go forth to do this rebuilding. So in the beginning of all of this, what I'm seeing at the beginning of these chapters is preparation. And it's something we've talked about before, is that you have to be prepared.
And what I love about Nehemiah was he knew what he needed to be prepared with. Remember,
right,
a couple of shows ago, we talked about the different tools. When we first started this series 7 weeks ago or 8 weeks ago, however long it's been, and we talked about establishing credit. We said you need to have the right tools to build credit. But the tools that I used to build a house, I think, is when we had Brother Christopher McWhite from Massachusetts on the show as a guest. The tools that I use down here in the South to build, the tools that he uses up in the North to build the same type of house or a similar type of house, or what somebody uses in Florida is going to be different. So we can't take it as we all have. We can't take it so much that we have all these different tools, we're talking about unity, and we're talking about doing this thing together. So the one tool that we all can use is the same tool that Nehemiah shows us in chapter 4. Genesis 4, he said, "Then I prayed, hear us, O God." And you think about it. Do you remember how the spiritual, how the whole spiritual process of rebuilding this wall actually began? In chapter 1, it started with prayer. So my gift to you who are listening is, as you rebuild your credit, take the lesson from Nehemiah that you can't omit prayer throughout the whole process at all. No matter where you are in the process, let prayer be the thing that you constantly turn back to. I'll concede there's opposition out there, so I'll concede to Shatara and I'll concede to Mama, since y'all done double-teamed on me tonight, so to speak. So, yeah, there's that opposition. That, yeah, you know, I'm coming it up. I can do it. And y'all can the thousands of folks saying it on the air, but that's okay. So this is there. Then why not go back to what you know worked? Because when we go back and look at the previous chapters, we saw what happened when he prayed. Not just on one occasion, but on more than one occasion. We see what happens. Right. So if it's working, he's given us a good example. So as you're going through whatever trials you may go through, not saying you are, but that you may go through when it comes to your credit, or if you're in a trial right now as it comes to rebuilding your credit, why not just go and turn back to prayer? Yeah. And there's something in Psalms 123. I can't remember it off the top of my head, but there's something, Mama, if you have it, you know, share it with
us. Okay, yes, I have it.
Thinking the third and the fourth verse in the 123rd Psalm.
He says, Psalm 23:3 says, "He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake." And Psalm 23:4 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me."
That's right. He's going to comfort us. He's comforting us based upon the prayers that we are bringing up to him, right?
Yes.
So, and then if you also go, and I may have said 23, but also in 123, Mama.
Okay.
He says, I got it, Mama. He says, "Have mercy on us, Lord. Have mercy on us, for we have endured no end of contempt. We've endured no end of ridicule from the arrogant and from the contempt of the proud." So when I take those two scriptures out of both of those Psalms, it lets me know that this is a prayer for us. Nehemiah didn't pray a selfish prayer. He prayed a prayer for them. And then when I look at verse 6, at the time, at last, the wall was completed to half of its size. Around the entire city, for the people had worked hard with enthusiasm. Now, when you read that, it said that half of the wall. Remember where we are right now on this show, and also remember where they are. The wall is not complete right now. So what we're seeing is they said, "At last." Now, if I say "at last, I got to my destination," you're going to think I got to the end, right? But that's not what happened. But "at last" means finally. It means after a while. It means when. So when the wall was completed to half its height, what they're doing, or what Nehemiah is saying right here, that yes, the wall wasn't completed, but what they completed, they called complete. What they completed, they called complete. Why did they call what they completed, which was half of the height around the entire city, complete? Look at what the end of the verse says. They worked with enthusiasm. See, this is where you're going to really have to dig in when it comes to rebuilding your credit. And not just this mindset that the enemy is going to attack, but how about not even giving the enemy any credit for any power over your thoughts, right?
Yeah.
How about just think about the work that you've done up to that particular point?
Mm-hmm.
Think about what all that God has actually done and helped you accomplish. Why not just rejoice in the fact that you did your part? And if others in the community were helping you, like other believers, then y'all did this together. I want people to just not to let the enemy try to discount what you have, H-A-L-F, accomplished, what you have accomplished with God, because you've probably done more than most people who've tried to rebuild their credit on their own. So in the world, I'm not going to let the enemy put stuff into my head. Why am I going to let the enemy talk about, well, you don't need to do this? Why am I going to do that? No, you're better than that. So why not just move forward with God as he's trying to help do better and bigger things with you when it comes to rebuilding credit, or like Shatara said, rebuilding other areas of your life? When you look
basically you're saying, don't let the enemy discount your progress.
Exactly.
If you're progressing in the right direction, see it as half full. See the glass as half full and not half empty.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's good. I said all that you said in one sentence. Lord have mercy. That's why we do it as a team. You know, and I think about this thing about enthusiasm. I want everybody listening that's like, okay, I know I need to rebuild my credit if you haven't started yet, or those who are already rebuilding, have enthusiasm with this thing. That's like an intense enjoyment, an eager enjoyment. It's an intense approval, like, Lord, look at what you've done, right?
And may I add that in the King James Version, it says, for the people had a mind to work. See, they had already made up their mind that no matter what, we're going to complete what we've started. They had a mind to work. So whatever obstacles they had to go through, it really didn't matter, because they're just going to go through it, because they already programmed their mind that there's a job to be done and we're going to do it in spite of.
Well, that's not the mindset that they had right here. They even had their mind made up in the last chapter, because that's what they did. But here is where, and that's why we're talking about these trials, because it's easy to get into this mindset when we're on this path of doing good things and then just get comfortable. And then when all hell starts to break loose, we don't know how to react sometimes. In verse 7, and you'll see it as we keep going through the chapter. In verse 7, and this is where you're going to see, we're going to see, Mama, that statement that you made, is it true right now or was it true before? Because in verse 7, now we're dealing with Sanballat and Tobiah. And I'm only really bringing this up, I guess, as a historical account, right? Because I really don't want to give attention to these jokers that keep coming back into the story. I don't want to keep giving attention to the people that keep coming up, because they mad and they angry about what God is doing. But we don't need to skate over it, because that's what happens in real life. So you got Sanballat and you got Tobiah. And now in verse 7, they just don't have Geshem, who joined forces with them back in chapter 2, but now they got a whole bunch of other folks with them.
Yes.
verse 2 says, Sanballat and Tobiah, and the Arabs, and the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the work was going ahead and that gaps in the wall of Jerusalem were being repaired, and they were furious. Did you hear what it said? They heard about the wall being repaired and got mad.
Mm-hmm.
Jokers didn't even live there. But yeah, they mad about what's going on in somebody else's home.
That's
so
reality.
Yeah. And why get mad at people coming together and executing and rebuilding or repairing this thing with enthusiasm because they want it better? See,
mm-hmm,
I had to go like I went last week. Some folks just ain't going to understand why you're doing what you're doing. You already got the good job. Why are you trying to do stuff with your credit? You already work for the government. Oh, you only got mm-hmm about 2 more years to retire. You're not going to buy another house. Oh, mm-mm. Those are Sanballat and Tobias and Gershoms all day long. Right? It defies logic. It makes no sense other than to say that the enemy will do any and everything that he can do to throw a monkey wrench in the plan of God. It don't have to be complicated, but that's just like the MO, right? But
mm-hmm,
I'm glad that, again, the ones that we're talking to really tonight, and if you haven't listened to the other shows, go back and then catch back up to where we are. But take the challenge on. Continue to have this mindset that we're going to rebuild. And then recognize that the enemy may try to do something. You may not know when it's coming. You may not always recognize it. But God is going to win in the end. God's plan to rebuild is going to be fulfilled. That's just my spirit. That's where my heart is right now. God's mindset is for you to rebuild, and his plan is going to come to pass. Again,
mm-hmm,
it's going to take you doing your part. So if I got the courage to declare it, why not have the courage to receive it?
Mm-hmm. And see, have the courage to stand even in the face of adversity, because as you see, there's plenty of it usually. It's usually present and accounted for. You know, more than
right
enough people are willing to be negative or be naysayers against anything you're trying to do and any plan that God has for you. There are always more than enough naysayers, but going into it with the understanding that there will be naysayers, but you plus God equals the majority, and that his will be done in your life, and you're seeing it, you know, seeing that glass half full, we need to be encouraged, and like you said, do it eagerly and with a cheerful heart, because his will be done.
That's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And think about, this is so profound when God showed this to me. Where they were in chapter 4 was in a place of repair.
Mm-hmm.
Remember I talked about how they repaired the gate. They repaired more gates than they had to totally rebuild. So now what we're talking about, they repaired the wall. See, the wall is only halfway up. Once the wall is all the way up to its full height, then it's rebuilt. So these jokers, Sanballat and Tobiah and all the rest of these jokers that's with them, they mad because of the repairing. Can you imagine how ignorant these jokers may want to get once it's rebuilt? Because now
mm-hmm
that says they don't have to do this anymore. God has accomplished a finished work. Hope somebody caught that. So since he's already accomplished a finished work already, why in the world we need to keep on messing with them on that? No, we need to mess with them on something else. But they have some.
Mm-hmm.
When you repair something, you're just fixing it. You're just like mending it, right? But when you
mm-hmm
rebuild it, you're taking something that has to have some extensive work. Extensive repair work done to get it back to where it needs to be. When I looked at the definition of what rebuilt is, I was looking at, you know, I love to do these word searches, and there's a definitions of repair and definitions of rebuild, but I like this definition about rebuild. It says to make extensive structural repairs on. So it's something being repaired on the outside. But the other definition, or one of the other definitions, says to remodel or make extensive changes in. I said, hold on. So you can rebuild something on the outside, but you can also rebuild something on the inside. For me, that was a profound definition and enlightening from God. Because what we're talking about is, we're talking about these trials, we're not just talking about the superficial thing of just helping somebody trying to get their credit score up from a 400 to a 600 or from a 500 to a 700. Let me give you an example. I remember when I purchased the home we're living in right now several years ago, and I had some dings on my credit. And I remember how I was told to pay this off and to pay that off, and told it would help your score, and because it helps your score, then it make it easier for you to qualify, Mr. Dunlap. Now, I'm still kind of young. I'm like, okay. So then I was also told that, you know, there was a collection or two on my account, and I had to get those things showing that they were paid. Now, dare I say to you that I didn't try to get anything taken care of until there was something that I needed to get. I didn't have the character to take care of these things. I didn't have the knowledge or the wisdom to rebuild before I went to apply for something. I was only doing it because I was trying to get a house. Did I do that? I sure did. But it wasn't the right thing to do. Again, nothing about my character being on the line, that wasn't the concern. Not being pleasing to God that I'm running around here with raggedy credit and doing the things I'm doing in the government, that wasn't a concern. It was about what can I get out of the deal. And then, I'm just venting right now, but to add insult to injury, she was only concerned about me doing just enough so she can pimp me to help her make her commission on my loan and earn her part of her paycheck for me financing the loan with her company. There's a difference between rebuilding something and repairing something. And we've said that plenty of times already. There's a reason why we're not talking about credit repair on the PRF table. We don't want things just to be fixed or mended just so you can get just a little bit. We want you to get the fullness of what your credit should be looking like. When people go to credit repair companies or individuals who claim to be able to do credit repair, they're not looking for anything more than just to get something bandaged up. They're not looking for anybody to help them deal with the real issues. When people file for bankruptcy, people are looking for that relief. It's not about repairing their credit. It's about getting relief from the bill collectors or something getting ready to get repossessed or a house getting ready to get foreclosed on. So I'm telling you, especially you who are believers, we got to do something different. We have to be the ones that lead by example. And if we're the ones leading by example, then I guarantee you other people will follow. In verse 8 says they all made plans to come in to fight them. These jokers, going back to Sam Ballin and all of they come and they making plans to come and fight the people of Judah. And the Bible says, and throw us into confusion. Now, the interesting thing that I saw was all those in verse 7 started to conspire. And so we shouldn't be surprised when the enemy occasionally, or however frequent it is, pops his ugly head up, right? But as you go from one phase of building to the next, just like rebuilding those different components in your credit, like we were talking about last week. I'm with you, Shatara, when you said we want you to be ready, but I think more importantly than us wanting you to be ready, God wants you to be ready. More so than anything. The other thing is, when you look at the verse, it doesn't say how Nehemiah knew what these jokers was planning on doing. Maybe it was God who revealed it to them. Maybe there were some people that were looking out for the people of Judah. They came and warned Nehemiah. Regardless of how it happened, he knew it. See, this thing is not about, it really was less to do with fighting against the people of Judah, and it was everything to do with fighting against God.
Amen.
Amen.
This thing of confusion, we know what the word says about confusion. This really, not to get so wrapped around the axle, but this thing was really just another trial. It was trying for them to get to the point of where they are right here in the text in chapter 4. We don't hear about a whole bunch of foolishness going on in chapter 3. We just see them putting their hands to the plow and getting it, doing what they had to do to get this wall built to the point that they have it in this part of the text where we're at in chapter 4.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's a trial, what is it that we're dealing with when we're talking about a trial? There's several definitions. A trial is the act or the process of testing or trying or putting something to proof. It's a state of pain or anguish that tests patience and endurance or belief. It's a trying or a troublesome or an annoying person or thing, like these jokers that keep popping back up in the text time after time again. Sometimes the trial is an individual. Sometimes the trial is yourself. Sometimes the trial is that process that you're going through. So my question is, Mama, Shatara, as you rebuild your credit, should we not be expecting any trials?
Oh, you absolutely should.
Yeah.
You absolutely should.
And the reason why, because the book of James 1, 2 through 4 reads, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." This is where character is built.
Amen.
All right. All right.
This is where character is built. Amen.
And that's,
because
that's,
Go ahead. This is where character is built because, you know, just myself, you know, I want it overnight. But that's just not reality. And why I know that is because, you know, it's some things that need to be worked out in my life that God knows what need to be worked out. I need to have more patience.
Amen.
I need more patience because when he says don't be anxious for anything, so if I'm anxious, I'm going to miss something. And I'm not going to really be hearing from God because it's going to be all about me and me, myself, and I and how I want this done. But he says here, and I just, oh, this is so awesome, knowing this, I know this, he says, that the trying of my faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That means I'm going to do a complete job. What I'm doing is going to be right.
Yeah.
It's going to be right. It's not going to be botched up. It's not going to be all my, when I think it is complete, as you were saying, that, oh, it's half full. Yes. Now, because I'm so anxious about it, and I'm not hearing, not getting into any instructions from God, because I'm all about, like I said, me, myself, and I, then therefore I'm missing something. Then when I look back on what I call my completed project, I can see that the glass is still just half full.
Mm-hmm. And even when somebody, and in light of all of that, because we're on the same page, Mama Mary, when you're looking at that, and in light of all of that all of those situations, even when there are people around you whispering in your ear that glass is half empty and not actually half full, you need to understand that by faith, God has given you something. He's given you a promise. You have promises from God. And if he says that, you know, that work will be completed, then you need to stand on that. It will be completed, because Jesus faced the same thing. So why wouldn't we?
Yeah.
He faced a bunch of naysayers, people saying that he wasn't the Son of God. And, you know, even the enemy tempted him. So, and was naysaying, you know, throwing things at him. Why would we not face opposition? We would. And then that also increases your faith. It increases your faith when you hold on to the promises of God, and then you see it through to the finish, and you see that God kept his promise. Will you not believe him the next time, even more so, if he kept his promise? So, you know, there is going to be that opposition. It's just, you know, like I said earlier, and that was the reason I said that statement earlier, is that sometimes we are our own opposition, because we can't get out our own way to receive the promises of God, the things that he, you know, he has for us. It's just there waiting for us to lay claim to it. But because we're in our own way, we negative talk ourselves. It may be internal talk, and you just have that talk with yourself, and you're saying, I can't do this. This is too hard, or, you know, why me, or woe is me. That's opposition to you receiving your promise. So, yes, we have that opposition, but also we have to recognize that we, you know, these trials and this opposition that we face, it worketh patience. It increases our faith. It's like a muscle. To put it in lay terms, it's like a muscle. And if you don't work it, then how does it grow? So your faith and your patience and all of that, it has to be worked. And it's worked through those oppositions. So if you pray to God and you said you want, you know, you want to be debt-free, or you want to have a better credit score, or you want to have all of this, again, you didn't get into that situation passively. It was an act that got you there, and it's going to take acts to get you out of there, and those acts are going to require that you work some things. And in order to increase those things that are going to help you get out of those situations, you have to work it against that. I hope that was clear. It's clear in my head.
Yeah, we got it.
Okay.
Now watch this. Because y'all are imparting a spirit of you can do this to people who are listening to you. People are online talking about Preach Mama and all of this, so people are hearing y'all. So now let's take it one step further, because we want people to continuously have in their minds and in their spirit that we are talking about individuals, but we're more so talking about community. Remember when we started talking about this, we said this whole thing was not about what one person done. It's what a bunch of people have done. And there's been so many people trying to, quote-unquote, fix their credit, quote-unquote, rebuild their credit, and trying to do it by themselves. And I can tell you, it ain't been working. So if it ain't been working, with my incorrect English, as a doctor, then why not try something else without the something, not something, something. Try something else that you can see that there's a biblical foundation for getting stuff done with God and with other people, with your brothers and with your sisters. So, in verses 4 and 5, I know we were just at 8, but when you go back and look at verses 4 and 5, Nehemiah said when they were being tested, right? Now in verse 9, after completing half of the wall, let me put it into credit terms. After you see your credit score go up 10 points, after your credit score goes up 60 points, after a few derogatory things come up off your credit, legally, right? Whether you got to wait 6 months for it to happen or 7 years to come where it just automatically drops or should automatically drop off. After whatever progress, right, that happens in this progress, whatever, you can't let the enemy get you to just thinking that whatever progress you made just wasn't worth it. You may see your credit score go up 10 points because you've done some things in the area of your payment history, one of the components. That's a good thing. See, I'm like you, Shatara. I don't know if I'm making sense. But at the end of whatever it is, whatever layer of progress, right, or whatever rung on the ladder, if you will, it's just not the time for you just to sit back, put your feet back, and say, ooh, that was tough. I'm glad I got to this point, and then just back up off of it. Because at the end of the day, you don't want to go back into a place of ruins like they did in this particular book. They were Jerusalem and the temple. If you go back and look at the Old Testament, it just didn't get rebuilt one time. It got rebuilt multiple times. So we don't want you, when you get your credit going, to get to a point where you think you're good because it's looking good. And you know, you can have a 400 credit score and start walking with God in this area and get up to a 600. I'm going to say, okay, did God say that's all you were supposed to get was a 600? But I also realize that for somebody who has a 400 credit score and now all of a sudden has a 600 credit score, you sit back like, whoo, look at what the Lord has done. That's 200 points. That's a great name.
Thank you, Jesus.
What you don't know and what you don't see, which is why you don't get comfortable, is you don't see what God has around the corner that may require you to have a 700 credit score, that all you had to do was have that credit score, but you stopped. See, Nehemiah, in verse 4, Nehemiah prayed for the people. He prayed for everybody. But can I read you what it says in verse 9? But we prayed to our God. See, that's where that individual thing just doesn't get it by itself. He prayed for them, but in this one, they all prayed. So what am I saying? He prayed for them. He covered them. They got it halfway built, but it took all of them coming together to pray to get through this next phase of it. So what I'm saying is you just can't think that you can just do the same thing, because there may be a turning point that you have to turn. And I've said it plenty of times before, this thing is about us being proactive believers versus reactive believers.
Mm-hmm.
Think about the perspective of those who, again, are already actively in this rebuilding process. Or what about the time when, like, now you're paying on time, but before you wasn't paying on time. Before you was getting late payments all the time, and you ain't got a late payment since you made up your mind, you know what, Lord, this is it. I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not just going to let stuff go. We don't want you to get to a place and then stop. We don't want you to get to a place and get comfortable, and then all of a sudden, slowly but surely, the walls start being torn down. See, it doesn't always happen all of us all at one time. I don't know anybody whose credit score went from a 700 down to a 400 in 30 days. But I can tell you, if I go pull credit reports, it was a slowly declining process, which is what happens to so many people. So if I sum that up, this whole thing, this whole notion about coming together and us praying about this, is that's doing something practical. And while we're doing that as a practical thing, which is also prayer is a spiritual discipline, then God is in the spiritual working some stuff out that we have no idea what he's doing.
Amen.
All we got to do, I'm just saying, all we really have to do is just accept it. And I'm going to tell you, if you do what is godly necessary to do your part in rebuilding credit, your credit, it's not going to be anybody's fault. I'm telling you, if it comes tumbling down because you have a lack of prayer, you have a lack of practical application. My prayer is that you don't let that be you, because it doesn't have to be. See, when you look at verse 10, now, we saw what happened. We see where in verse 4 he prayed for them. In verse 9, they all prayed. But what happens in the next verse? I'm going to share something with you. I've watched and been a part of Christian communities for years now, and I've seen how the stopping comes with the prayer. Just pray about it. Okay. Well, let me show you an example of just pray about it. In verse 10, then the people of Judah began to complain. The workers are getting tired, and there is so much rubble to be removed. We will never be able to build the wall by ourselves. That's why verse 9 is important. That's why verse 4 is important, because that's highlighting the trials that you may go through when it comes to rebuilding your credit or any other place in your life. Where are we at right now in this chapter? Up to this point, they completed what they completed, but they still have more work to do. What do you see in verse 10? They tired. They got a little fear in them a little bit. They're discouraged by what they saw. It doesn't say that they began to complain because of what Sanballat and Tobiah was talking about, that foolishness. That's not what they said they were complaining about. They were complaining about all that rubble that they saw, that they know needed to be removed. Now, hold on now. You mean to tell me you had people in the previous chapter, you had one person worked on the gate, that same person worked on 1,500 feet of the wall from the valley gate to the dung gate, if I remember correctly, 1,500 feet. Some folks don't even want to walk 1,500 feet to the store. But now, all of a sudden, y'all look at all the rubble that needs to be removed, the leftover stuff, and now y'all tripping that we can't do it? Well, think about God. Like, hold on. Your credit score done went up from, like, a 500 to a 600, and you trying to act like you can't get to a 700 now? Really? That's not an acceptable godly mindset, but it's reality. People get discouraged. People feel like they can't finish the task. So why not just do what we can see in this word? Why not just reevaluate? See, have you ever been, I was thinking about when Shatara, where we used to work at, and I just think about how I used to go in at 3 o'clock in the morning sometime to catch folk doing what they were doing or not doing. And I thought about being on that long road at 2, 3 in the morning. And then I thought about how I had to get to sleep as soon as I got off the air, because usually I did that on Friday to try to get off, you know, super early, like by like 11 in the morning or 9 before folks start really coming in. And I thought about how I would be tired driving in there. Well, when you're tired sometimes, you don't see straight. When you're tired sometimes, especially driving at night, you see things that you normally would not see. Was that a deer over there? No, it ain't nothing but a tree. But you're tired.
Mm-hmm.
You got folks that work shift work. I can't work on a midnight shift. You only can't work on a midnight shift. You can't work the midnight shift because you never did it before. But once you start doing it and you get your body adjusted, then it's okay. You can do it. See, there's something about the things that discourages people from what they see. Nobody told them that they couldn't remove the rubble, that they didn't have enough people. Nobody told them that. That's what they told themselves. But hold on now. You just told yourself, y'all too tired and we ain't going to never be able to build this by ourselves. But you just prayed together as a community. Are you kidding me? You know what that sounds like? Church on Sunday morning. We done prayed and had a hallelujah great time. But yet the rest of the week is just hell for some people because ain't nobody even thought about asking them, you got food to eat? You got a way to work? Is anybody unemployed that wasn't employed from the last week that we were here? I digress. When you look at verse 11, it says, meanwhile, our enemies were saying, before they know what's happening, we're going to swoop down on them and we're going to kill them and end their work. Another example of the enemy working through folks to just discourage the people. Then we get to the Jews that are close by. And now they start saying, hold on. They telling them again and again that these jokers want to come from all directions and attack us. I don't know how they know, how they heard, but they did. And I thought about this. I said, well, they're telling them again and again, multiple times. Is that because they were fearful? Or was it because Nehemiah and the rest of the people wasn't moving fast enough to do something about their situation? See, when you know certain things are coming, when you can kind of sense the enemy trying to be messy with folks, how many times is God going to have to tell you, look, I'm telling you, you don't know what's coming. You hear these folks talking about government shutdown. You better get your stuff in order right now. While you got it good,
Amen.
You better be putting some
Amen.
Money away, right?
Amen.
You know you're about to retire from your job with 28 years of service from whatever it is. You know you're about to do this in 2 years, so you may want to stop going on all these trips now and wait until after you find a job, after you get out, because see, you didn't save up enough money to just be able to retire and go home and do whatever you want to do. You're going to have to go and get another job because you didn't. See? They said it again and again. So it wasn't like they didn't have an advance warning. But what did they do? They didn't just not do anything. You go back up to verse 9, they were already guarded. It said, but we prayed, and had them guard the city day and night to protect ourselves. So here they are, when you see down in verse 12, the Jews coming to say to the rest of the people in Judah, hey, here they come. These guys are coming. This is what they're talking about. This is what they're going to do. Here comes Nehemiah again. And here he does, and he responds. Now, how does he respond? he responds to this physical warfare that's possibly coming. Don't know if it's coming or not, but it's possible. And that's the same way we got to respond to the spiritual warfare that we're dealing with. Look, don't take it that what we're talking about is not about spiritual warfare here on the PRF table, because we are.
Amen.
See, Nehemiah says, I place armed guards behind the lowest parts of the wall in the exposed area. I station people to stand guard by their families. I arm them with swords and spears and bows. I said, man, he made sure he put the right items in the people's hands so that they were able to fight when or if the enemy attacked. See, Nehemiah's response in the physical, this man, that should not be just encouragement to leaders that you need to do something about how credit is affecting the folks that God has given you charge over. But I think it's equally important for the people, you, to know when the leader says, look, we're going to have the PRF teaching ministry come in here and we're going to start offering classes every single month in these particular areas. And when that happens, when your leader stands up and say, you know what, let me put the right tools in your hand, the expectation should be, okay, well, that's what the leader is saying. Let me go ahead and do it. He ain't talking about taking your money. He's talking about equipping you with what you need so that you don't be in these crazy situations that we keep hearing about over and over and over, and that we, the host and those of us who are part of this ministry, have experienced over and over and over again in our lives. You got to support these type of efforts. I can't imagine if when Nehemiah placed the armed guards on the lowest parts of the wall in the exposed area and put people to stand guard and put swords in their hand, how crazy would it have been for them to say, this sword too heavy. I want a gold sword. I don't like the silver one. I don't want a spear. I want a bow and arrow. I like the spear because I've been using the spear for the last 4 years, and that's what's worked for me. That would have been stupid. Sometimes there's people that God has ordained in a leadership capacity that knows how to help you in your situation better than you. I'm telling you, people, please don't stop bucking the system. Because I know that there's some leaders out there that has the heart for helping you in some of these areas that we're even talking about on the PRF table. Leaders, stop bucking the system. Stop bucking God. There's a bunch of people that wish you would bring PRF or something in to be able to help them, but it don't match up with your schedule. Everybody said you got to be there. It's a two-way street. What Nehemiah set up, y'all, physically could not have been done without the people. So a lot of the challenges that people are experiencing in our churches, in our communities, in some of our households, without the people backing, it's not going to work. You know, I'm going to be quiet. Mama Shatara, y'all got something y'all want to say? Please just go ahead and jump in. All right, I'll keep going. Y'all know I can just keep on going. Y'all know I can just go. When I just get going, I get going. All right, so check this out. I remember when I was pursuing my doctorate degree, the type of research that we engaged in was called action research. And so in action research, it's four processes. You make a plan, and then you act, meaning you do what's necessary inside of that plan, and then you observe and see, okay, from what I've done, how well did that match up with the plan? And then you reflect on it, say, okay, there's some stuff I need to change. And when I looked at verse 14, that's what it reminded me of. Because Nehemiah says, then I looked over the situation, and then I called together the nobles and the rest of the people and said to them, don't be afraid of the enemy. Remember the Lord, who is great and glorious, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. And I looked at that and said, you know what? That's like action research. Because they already had the plan, rebuild the wall. But now we got these threats that are possible. They may be true, they may not be true. But now Nehemiah has to say, okay, hold on, I got to evaluate this situation. I can't just assume that the way that we built the first half of the wall, that it seemed like, again, there was no opposition during the first half of the building, right? None. You don't read no opposition in chapter 3. But now they're getting it before they go and start the second half of the wall. Nehemiah had to reevaluate that. So as you're rebuilding your credit, if you got to shift gears, if you got to make an adjustment, see, the plan may have been, let me deal with my payment history, or let me deal with the amounts that I owe. And you may have been good by paying an extra $100 on your credit and getting your balance to limit ratio down. But all of a sudden, something comes up, an emergency. And now you can't do it for 7 to 8 months. Nehemiah says, don't be afraid of the enemy. Remember the Lord, who is great and glorious, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. See, you're going to have to find something that's going to be able to encourage you to keep on going on whenever these things come up. See, the difference here with Nehemiah is this is a communal setting. So everybody sees this, and he's talking to everybody. But see, when you had that plan to put away $100 a month, or to take $100 and put $100 on whatever that credit card is, for example, to get your payment down, a lot of folks may not know that you had an emergency, that your child, your son called you from college needing some extra money because financial aid didn't go through and they needed that so they can go ahead and keep on going to school this semester. Don't nobody know about stuff like that unless you're really, really close to the situation. So it's easy to be that person that says, well, woe is me. I was on a good plan. Why don't you just reevaluate? You may not be able to do 100 right now. You may only be able to do 20. But isn't that still something? Mm-hmm. Then, okay, God, God, I was doing 100, but now I can only do 20. So you already know the situation. That's what I can do. But, God, I'm remembering you. I'm remembering how great you are. I'm remembering how glorious you are. So I'm not gonna be afraid of the enemy. Enemy, I'm not going to be afraid of you. So you go ahead and leave that stuff alone with me because it's not going to work. Mm-hmm. We were doing this thing in a communal setting. Can you imagine how much more powerful it could be when Mama Marianne is encouraging you? Because you feel a little bit defeated because you were putting 100 and you knew, man, in 7 months we're going to be really good. I'm going to be down to 30% balance to limit ratio. So, but now you got Mama that's able to speak something into your life. You got Shatara that's able to speak something into your life to keep you encouraged. You got Adia. You got Brother Feaster. You got Sister Ernestine. You got Kathy. You got all these folks that's now able to help you. Can you imagine how frustrated that the enemy would be that all of us came together to help you get through this and to keep rebuilding? Can I help us with this thing about the wall? When you go back and read chapter 1, you go back and read chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, and chapter 5, you will not see the timetable of how long God stated it was supposed to take to rebuild this wall. We're going to talk about the timing of credit soon, maybe. I don't know. But there's a timing that comes along this thing, and I don't want to just spoil it right now, but they're not up under any pressure more so than the pressure that they allow themselves to be up under. So it's the same thing with credit. I was under pressure when I was trying to get this house, because it was something I was trying to do right now. So how do you remove some of that pressure? Work on your stuff right now. Rebuild your stuff right now. Repair your credit right now, so that if God allows a situation to come up where you can go to get another home or to get a car or to get this loan for this particular business, you're not behind the power curve. Again, encouragement is of the utmost importance. It is so valuable that you who are getting encouraged may not realize how valuable it truly is for the people that's helping to encourage you. When I look at verse 15 says,
something.
Go ahead, Mama. Go ahead. I need some water.
Okay,
now.
Verse 14. Okay, Psalms 55:9 says, and this is about when Nehemiah was saying about remember the Lord. Because Psalms 55:9 says, destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. And also, Psalm 37 also say, fret not because of workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the green grass. See, so we know because God already had put in place that, and well, number one, Nehemiah knew that God had brought him this far. He will continue to take him from what he has already done for him. And so he was encouraging people to remember the Lord, you know what I mean? Because the Lord can destroy our enemies. And like it says here, and he can divide their tongues. And he also says, fret not because of workers of iniquity. So that gives us a cushion right there of safety in spite of what we're going through or what the enemy is attempting to do. Because it also says, what's my thought on that? I lost my train of thought. But anyway, that's a cushion for us.
Amen, amen. God, look. What?
Oh, I'm sorry. I know what it was. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Write it down, Mama. Just write it down. We'll come back to it. one of the things that, you know, that you heard Mama say in Psalm 55:9, God frustrated them. He frustrated the enemy. And I'm like, don't you just love how God will just confound the enemy so that you can get back to the task at hand? See, that's a purpose. If God will confound the enemy on your behalf, so that you can get back to the task at hand, that's a beautiful thing. But why would God confound the enemy if you're not going to get back to the task at hand? So it's a quid pro quo. If we want God to confound the enemy from trying to prevent us from rebuilding, then we got to make sure that we just go forth and do what we're supposed to be doing to rebuild.
Amen.
There's a couple of more verses in this where, well, I'll just read them. But from then on, only half of the men worked while the other half stood guard with spears, shields, bows, and coats of mail. The leaders stationed themselves behind the people of Judah who were rebuilding the wall. The laborers carried on their work with one hand supporting the load and the other hand holding a weapon. All the builders had a sword belted to their side. The trumpeter stayed with me to sound the alarm. Then I explained to the nobles and the officials and all of the people. Now, listen to this. The work is very spread out, and we are widely separated from each other along the wall. See, that wasn't something that mattered when they were rebuilding the bottom half of the wall. But now it matters because they're dealing with a different threat, a threat that seems a little bit more prevalent, a little bit more imminent, so to speak. So sometimes, again, this is just an example of how Nehemiah is after he reflected, he's making another plan on how to make sure that the work of God continues to go on. He says, when you hear the blast of the trumpet, rush to wherever it's sounding, then God will fight for us. I'm about done. Look, rebuilding your credit. It may have some trials. It may have some hiccups. But what about God? My prayer is that you're equipped or that you get into position as you continue to rebuild and fight. Fight the spiritual battles with the power of God that's working within you. I believe there's scripture that talks about putting on the whole armor of God. And I thought about that as I thought about this thing about spiritual warfare, y'all. And I looked at it in context of how in Nehemiah, this was physical. They had the sword and the spears. They had those things that would take them into a physical battle. But we're dealing with spiritual warfare more than anything. So the Bible does, if I'm not mistaken, talks about putting on the whole armor of God. So if you put on the breastplate of righteousness, you're doing this rebuilding of your credit with a pure heart. You got to guard your heart because there may be somebody that says, I need you to help me out with something, and your credit is better than mine. Well, you got to be careful. Just because my credit is better than yours, if I'm trying to rebuild my credit, and your credit is tore up from the flow up for whatever reason, that may not be what I need to do to help rebuild my credit. See, I need to make sure that I'm really evaluating and observing what's going on, because I know there was a PRF table episode, one or two, that talked about cosigning when we were dealing with debt back in June and July. And how there's a warning from God in the book of Proverbs more than once that talks about cosigning. And if you cosign and the person that you cosign for can't pay, then your bed will be snatched from up under you. So, you know, you have to evaluate that thing and say, if I'm cool with my bed being snatched from up under me, then go ahead. I'll go ahead and do it. But if I'm not cool with that, then we need to evaluate and look at that. But I'm saying that to say you can't let people try to play on your emotions, which usually is a heart thing. Well, son, you know that, you know, son, you know your sister really don't have this. Yeah, I do know that, mama. I do know that, daddy. But I don't know if you know it, but my sister don't never pay her bills, mama. That's why her car got repossessed. And now she want me to help finance a car for her. And she cutting up on her job. I don't know if you know that, mom and daddy, but she cutting up on her job, so she likely to be fired any moment. So I'm gonna put this breastplate of righteousness so I can protect my heart. Or what about putting the helmet on? Right? I put the helmet on so that I don't have to keep listening to all this stuff. So it's kind of like that Charlie Brown thing. Wah, 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 wah. You can keep talking all you want, but you're not going to convince me in my mind that I need to do this because you're trying to get to my heart. You see what I'm saying?
And may I speak on that?
we got to put whatever we got to put on so that we can protect ourselves. Because at the end of the day, you see what Nehemiah said. Remember the Lord who is great and great and glorious, and fight for your brothers, your sisters, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. And that doesn't mean we just allow folks to just get all into our space to just get them to do whatever they want to do. I think manipulation is a sin, but go ahead, Mama.
Okay, first I want to get back to my thought before. It was talking, you know, we know, it says no weapon that's formed against us shall prosper. So we know, weapons, so just let me know that, yes, you know, evil weapons are going to form against me. But he says they shall not prosper. So that's up to me to decide whether I'm going to allow it to prosper. I do have control over that by how I think. And then Ezekiel 11:5 says, and the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me and said unto me, speak, thus saith the Lord. Thus have you said, O house of Israel, for I know the things come into your mind, every one of them. So things are going to come into our mind. However, 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to obedience of Christ. So what you were saying about, you know, the sister's not doing what she's supposed to do, and mama still wants you to do it, you were casting it down, no matter what was said, because you're bringing it into obedience of the Lord, because the word already say, don't do that. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, listen, everybody, we are, I think we're about getting to that point where we're about to shut it down for tonight, or at least I am. I hear my voice starting to go a little. This is going to be kind of where I want to just leave the final comment, if I will, for tonight. When we look at verse 21, we see where Nehemiah records, we worked early and late from sunrise to sunset, and half the men were always on guard. What I see in that particular verse is a lesson about endurance. And I will encourage you, all of you who are listening, that we must have endurance. We must ask God for endurance to run this race. And I have to say it in those terms of running the race, because rebuilding credit is, just like they said, Tobiah and Sanballat, they expect to do this in some days. That's what they said. Something to that effect. I can't recall exactly how they said it. A single day, we expect to do this in a single day. Well, don't expect to rebuild your credit in a single day. Have the expectation of repairing something as often as you possibly can. Then that way you're not living with disappointment. Don't be overzealous with how you're trying to rebuild. Rebuild as God gives you the strength to rebuild. And as he gives you the strength to rebuild, then you have the ability to do some great and some mighty things. I'm telling you, it's just amazing how God would actually be able to do what you're trying to do when you can't do it. We talked a lot of tonight, and we're not just talking about this from a client perspective. I mean, we're really dealing with this thing from a spiritual perspective. And if we're going to be the type of believers that people are going to follow and to accept Christ and to want to be a part of this particular fellowship of believers, then we're going to have to make sure that we're not just doing some things in the context, if you will, of I'm just doing it by myself. We're doing it with each other. And so as we get ready to shut it down, I'm going to bring a caller in that wants to bring some final comments or maybe some questions to the show tonight. Calling with the last four of 4997, welcome to the PRF table.
Hi, can you hear me?
We hear you well. We hear you well.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to be real quick, but I have truly enjoyed tonight's show. I know last episode, last week, we got meat, and it was really good. And it just, it seems like every round go higher and higher. And what really, really captivated me tonight was, number one, when you started off, you started off by saying prayer first. And I caught that because I actually, with my church, we're going through a 90 days of prayer. And one of the things that I've been praying about is my finances. And hold on a moment. One moment, please. Sorry, you guys. One of the things that I've been praying about is my finances. And so listening to you saying how whatever the process is, whatever the project is, talk to God, ask God first. I just like, whoa, that's number one. And then talking about the process, when Mama was speaking about the process earlier today, what I caught from that, because sometimes in my mindset in the beginning of all this was, okay, I got to rebuild my credit. I got to rebuild what I'm trying to do. And I wasn't even thinking about me. Because it's one thing when you focus in on getting out of debt or you focus on reestablishing your credit, but that don't help you if you don't deal with you, because I can focus on a project, but if I'm not part of the process, then I can get out of debt, but I'll go right back into it having the same mind, what I wanted to say. Keep doing what you're doing. I am encouraging you that you are really blessed enough. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. We appreciate you so much. Thank you for your faithful listenership and everybody else who really is just very supportive of the PRF table. I'm not the only one here at the PRF table that gets messages from you, the listeners, and we take them and we share them with each other as those that are part of the table and part of the PRF teaching ministry. So we just encourage you just to reach out to other folks. We've had a lot, an influx, and I say an influx of people that have visited our Facebook page and liked our page, and things are moving well because now that puts people into a position where they're able to see the comments, where they're able to get the information that we're actually putting out as far as what we're going to be talking about in advance and can start looking at it and seeing what God is saying to them, even in advance of the show. So, again, we just want you just to continue to do what you're doing, continue to let God to do great and mighty things inside of your life and on top of your life. Next week, we're going to have Adia Sanders, one of the other hosts. She will be leading the conversation and the dialogue next week. So, I'm probably going to be here, and all of us are still going to be here, but Adia was quiet tonight. So I can just imagine Mama Shatara, because we already know how she is, that if she didn't say anything this week, and she's going to have the number one, she's going to have the gold microphone next week, we can only just imagine
wow.
how she's going to just
wow.
be pooping in it. So we'll be praying for Adia. We'll be praying for all of you. Our prayer ministry is definitely keeping you who are listening and going through whatever you're going through and trying to do things like rebuild, even if it may not be that bad. Just know that behind the scenes, there's some folks that are in this ministry that are out there to pray for you. So if you have anything, just reach out to us, and we will be more than happy to reach back out to you and do whatever we can to help you in whatever area you're at. You can hit me up by email at dunlap@prfministry.org. You can go to our website, prfministry.org. We have a comment section. And again, just let the folks know about what's going on at the PRF table. So with that, on behalf of myself and
Tara and Adia and Mama and Brother Feaster. We just really say thank you once again. We will talk to you next week, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And remember, it's all about love. Have a good night. Peace.